Hello and welcome to Mileage Airways if you're new here, but if you're a frequent flyer, thank you for choosing this airline again. This is your captain speaking, Katelem, and the time is 7:34 on a windy but cool Tuesday evening on the 30th of January. Today we'll be flying through mile 43, where we'll be talking about the importance of the soul. This promises to be a very, very interesting flight. So strap up, fasten your seat belts, and cabin crew, prepare for takeoff. Let's go. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Mark 8:36-37. This, my friend, in my humble opinion, is the deepest verse in the Bible, and is a verse that I do not take lightly at all. Now, what does it mean to gain the whole world but lose your soul? That, in layman's terms, is just having worldly success but losing your identity. Now, as I'm even saying losing your identity, it gives me shivers, because why would you want to lose your identity just to gain material things? I'll give you examples. So if you're a lady listening to this pod, and let's say you're above the age of 23, I'm sure your family or maybe your aunties have started telling you, when are you going to get married? Have you found someone? Time is going. You know, there's that pressure, there's that societal pressure on women, which is actually quite sad. It's something that crosses my mind from time to time. I mean, there are societal pressures on both the men and the women, but in this case now I'm focusing on the women. You know, there's that pressure that, oh, you need to get a man, you need to get a husband, you need to get married, you need to start having kids and all of the sorts. And then you start thinking to yourself, time is actually going. So let's say you actually have a list of the kind of person you want to be with. Let me not say a list, because that makes it so materialistic. But let's say you have an idea of the kind of person you want to be with. And now, because there's societal pressure, you tend to think, okay, maybe all these qualities I look for in someone is not actually that important. Let me just get someone just so that, you know, I beat the age bracket, or I meet the age bracket, and I don't have to worry about people in my ears telling me to get married. Then let's just say your name is Nkechi. Now, Nkechi, you're 28, and then you find someone, you know in your heart that, I don't really fancy this person. Obviously, there's the odd compromise. We all have to compromise in relationships, right? But then there's the kind of compromise that, you know that, bro, you're literally compromising your own soul. So you meet someone, you know that this person doesn't really fit my criteria. But anyway, I'm under pressure, so I might as well. Then you guys date, you court, and the lot. And you get engaged to, when the guy is kneeling down to give you that ring, you know in your heart that, bro, this is not it. But society would always put pressure on me, so might as well just accept the ring, plan your wedding, you get married. And then when you're inside the marriage, you see that this is really not what people have been saying it is. You know, there's a lot that goes into being married that a lot of people don't talk about. People just glorify the wedding, right? Now you found out in that situation that you have compromised your soul at the expense of gaining the world. Now that's exhibit one. Now let's go to example and exhibit two. You have a job, or let's say you were looking for a job for a long time, you know, you kept searching, you know deep down that there's a particular thing that you want to do, but obviously the bills have to be paid. You know, people always allude it to adulting in inverted commas, which is one of my worst words, to be honest, because people make adulting seem like some form of chore or some form of advanced. So basically, if you're adulting, it means that you're mature, you've arrived. I hate that word so much. But anyway, that aside, you know, there's something deep down that you know you would like to do with your life, but the bills have to be paid. Now, I'm not speaking about this from a disconnected place, because I know that sometimes you need to actually get yourself in motion. You know, you need to, sometimes even just getting that job just gives you some form of peace of mind, and then from there you can now plan what to do later in the future. I know all of that, but I'm talking about, you know, you end up applying to a place that you know that I don't even really want. I know that if I get this job, I'm not even going to put my all in it, but I need to get money anyway, so let me just apply. And you get the job, and now you're in this job that you hate with your life. You sleep and you wake up and you dread standing up from your bed. You're dragging your feet to go take a shower so you could wear your clothes, dragging your feet to go to commute to work. And then you get to work, all your colleagues piss you off. And they don't piss you off because they're bad people. They just piss you off because you know deep down that you shouldn't even be there, right? But the end of the month comes, ching or cha-ching, you get your salary, and rinse and repeat. That is another example of gaining the world but losing your soul. And this may not seem like anything. It may just seem like, okay, these are irreversible damages, or these are things that you just need to do to get by. But you realize that 7 years down the line, 10 years down the line, 7 years might even be too much, 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line, you start falling ill for no reason. You're thinking, what exactly is making me ill? You can't tell. But imagine making your soul go through that for such a long time. There's no way it's not going to retaliate. Your body, when your body and your soul don't align, you will definitely feel it, right? Now, another example is in a relationship. This is kind of linked to what I said about being a woman and going into a relationship because of societal pressure. But let's say a relationship, this happens to everybody. You don't want to feel alone, obviously. You know, everybody needs a companion. But you know deep down that you've not really done the work on yourself. You know deep down that there's some criteria that you would want in someone, you know. But let's say for a guy, for example, you see this girl and physically she fits your criteria, but deep down you know that this babe doesn't bring much of a value. That doesn't sound like good English, but anyway, there's not much value there. And this doesn't just go for a guy, it goes for ladies as well. Let's say you see a guy, he has a lot of money, but he doesn't really take care of you as you would want to. But then, because of the material things, you think, I can manage with this. My dear, you have compromised your soul again. Now, for another example, I'll give someone who, you know that God has put a dream in you. You know that there's something that God wants you to do. It's like the story of Jonah, where God told him to go to Nineveh to deliver a message to his people. And Jonah was like, nah, man, I'm not down with that. It's not, how the Gen Z say it, it's not giving. So you know what? Let me run away. And that's what we do a lot of the time. Every single person on this planet, God has planted something in you that you can use to give the world. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So he didn't say, check if you have light and see if you can shine it. He said, let your light shine. So everyone has that light. And I always use the example. One of the things that one of the things that hinders people from putting themselves out there is because they think that maybe what they have, they think is too trivial, is too small. Do you get? Maybe your gift can be making people smile. Maybe your gift can be telling jokes. But these are things that people will see and be like, what kind of gift is that? What kind of talent is that? It's the same telling jokes that someone like Dave Chappelle has used to make millions of dollars, you know, just putting smiles on people's faces, Chris Rock and all them comedians. But we see what we have and we're like, bear in mind that as I'm saying this, I'm also speaking to myself. So I'm not speaking from a pedestal. I am in the congregation. Do you understand? So, you know, we know for sure that God has given us something, but then again, we act like Jonah, we just run away. But guess what happened to Jonah? He got swallowed by a whale and he got spat out after 3 days. What that necessarily means is it will hit you at some point. You know, in Jonah's case, it was a whale. In your case, it could be some very deep sickness that can just hit you and you're like, Jesus, everything I've been working for doesn't mean anything. Me, I'll use this as an example because I realize that whenever I have malaria, my malaria is usually very bad. Whenever I have malaria, I realize that it's a way for me to cleanse my life because I realize a lot of unnecessary things that I'm actually doing, right? So we know that we have those things that God has put in us. Why not bring it out there? But we want to run away and do something else and compromise our soul yet again. Now, another example, which is something I've spoken about on Miley before, is lying, telling lies. Now, one of the reasons we lie is so that we can warp reality. You know, we can edit reality to our favor, right? Now, Jordan Peterson, who I've mentioned 100,000 times on this podcast, Jordan Peterson says something. He said that when you tell a lie, you create a mist in your vision. So most times we need vision to move forward. You know, when God was creating the earth, he said, let there be light. What he needed that light was to see, oh yeah, oh, there's darkness here. Let me first see what's going on. Right? So everyone needs vision. But when you tell lies, you put a mist in your vision. It's like when you're wearing glasses and it's blurry, right? So you have a blurry vision. And the problem with that blurry vision is that you can't really see what's in front of you. You can kind of see, but you can't really see. And then if there are obstacles, you will definitely hit those obstacles because why? Your vision is blurry. And that's what telling lies does. Now, whenever we tell a lie, we compromise our soul. I'll give you a pictorial example. So imagine whenever you tell a lie, you create a different character because you really do, because you have to live in the character of that lie you've told for as long as possible. So let's say when you tell a lie, you create a different character. The more you lie, the more you feed that character. Now, immediately you create that character. Immediately you tell that first lie and that character is created. The character is very little, so you can maneuver your way around it, right? But then the more you tell lies, you build that character. Bear in mind that this character you're building is the opposite of you. It's the opposite of what you should be doing that you're telling a lie about, right? So you're building an opposite character to yourself that is actually going to challenge you. Now, the more you tell lies, the more you feed it, right? And now the more the character keeps growing. It's like hiding a bill, right? Like maybe your electricity bill comes and you're like, I beg, it's just 2,000 naira. Then you push it away and then it comes again, it's 10K. I can always do it. Next 5 months, that bill has risen to 500K. At that point, it's now too big. So it's the same thing as building this alternate character when you tell lies. Because at some point, the more you lie, the more it grows and grows. And you might feel it's trivial, but at some point, that character gets so big that you can't even challenge it. So your lie actually feels more real than the truth. That's why sometimes you hear people say that they tell lies and they actually start believing the lie. And this is why the power of words is so important. And I'll give you an example. So recently, I was I wanted to sleep. I had just finished playing football. And then my mom called me. And whenever at that time my mom called me, I knew that she probably wanted to send me on an errand or something. And I was just like, I'm not ready for this, man. And as much as I tried to be there for her as much as possible, at that point in time, I was just so tired. Guess what? I told her, look, man, mom, I have a headache and I want to sleep. The funny thing is that she wasn't even calling me to send me on an errand. She just wanted me to, I think she just wanted to say hi or something. I don't know. But anyway, I was in my room, in my house, and then I just told her, look, man, I have a headache. And guess what? I slept and I woke up with a very terrible headache. Bear in mind, I didn't have a headache before I slept. And so that's how powerful words can be. So imagine using your words to tell lies. You actually start believing the lie you tell. And that opposing character that you've built now starts to defeat you. And before you know, you don't even know where you are anymore. You can tell a lie so much that your vision actually shuts. Like you can't see again. And who wants to be in a situation where you can't even see your, like, what's in front of you? And you know, losing your soul is something that I take so deeply. I remember when, I'll give you a little story. When I was still in uni in Coventry in the UK, at that point, I was so broke. I think this was after uni, period where people start looking for a job, or they are desperately looking for a job, because that's the period between when you finish school and when your visa expires. And I was just desperately looking for a job. I was just like, you know, I'm going to take one of these menial jobs just to make enough money to keep myself going. So I applied. Then I got this job. So apparently it wasn't the most glamorous job. It was, what was I doing? I was packing fruits for grocery stores, them Tesco and Sainsbury's and all of them. It was a company that used to package their fruits for them. So I went in there first day. It was a 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. shift. I went in there and I was looking around me and I was like, what the hell is this? Now, no shade to people who were already working there, because you know, everybody has different things, you know, different targets in their life and all of that. But at that point in my life, that was definitely not what I should have been doing for my own self. So I'm not saying this to say, oh, no. Like I said, I'm not speaking from, I'm in the congregation. So I looked around and I was doing this work and I was like, so this is actually how a 9-to-5 is going to be like. Like, I know that my soul is not going to be here, but because I want to make money, I'm going to keep turning up here like a fucking bot or like a robot. And from that day, I knew that this just does not align with who I want to be and what I want to do. But like I said, this is just peculiar to me. I'm not saying this should be everybody's story. You know, the moment I left that shift that day at 3 p.m., I dropped in my resignation. I was like, I'm not coming back here. And that was the only day I've done a 9-to-5 in my life. This was not even a 9-to-5, to be honest. So I can't even use it to judge with a 9-to-5. This was a 6-to-3. So, but yeah, that was the only day. And I was just like, yeah, this is definitely not aligned with my purpose, with my own particular purpose in life. But then again, I figured out that now with what I'm doing, it's even like a 9-to-9 anyway. So it's even worse. But I'm saying that to say that it is very important to align with your soul. And you realize that when you do that, you move with a certain kind of confidence and a certain kind of braggadocio, like I like to call it, that people would look at you and be like, guy, what exactly is going on here? It's the same thing where in the Bible it said, let your light shine. So people would look at you and be like, yeah, man, God is definitely backing this person, you know. So with the context of all of this, it is very important. What is that thing that everybody knows what they are doing that they shouldn't really be doing? Everybody knows that thing that they think they should do, but they are not actually doing it. And so this mile is an inspiration and a push for you to pick that thing up, no matter how small. It doesn't mean that you should leave everything you're doing and do something that aligns with your soul. You know, no matter how small you want to take the steps, just start doing it. Start doing it. Recently, I started going to the gym, and I realized that the gym just reorients my mind. You know, sometimes I'm in my house and my mind is just going to some stupid places. I'm just like, yup, gym, it's time. Literally, I just stand up from my bed, wear my sneakers, dress up, I'm out to the gym. Why? Because I don't want to compromise my soul. I want to build the capacity of my soul to the point that it becomes so bulletproof that even if I want to do something that doesn't align with it, I can't even try it. And so, like I said, this mile is specifically to inspire you and me to keep doing that which aligns with our souls, and if we are not already doing it, to start it. Thank you for coming to this flight and for boarding. Again, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Cabin crew, prepare for landing. Like, comment, subscribe, all of these sorts, and I'll see you in the next mile. Peace to the Middle East.